today is found in the first book of the Kings, the first chapter, concerning Solomon and how that he was anointed to be king. We find that David in this chapter was very old, and that he was sick, and that he was lying upon his bed, and he was stricken in years, and he got no heat. They put clothes upon him, but clothes did not help him. This King David was about 70 years of age, not too old. Many people that are 70 years of age are very healthy and able to do even a good day's work. It all depends on the constitution of a person and what they have went through in life. David had a hard life. As you know, before he became king, he was pursued by Saul, his enemy, and he had no abiding place to live. He was hunted like a partridge on the mountains. And David, after he did become king, was likewise chastised even in his own family. He had two sons which were a grief to his heart, Amnon and Absalom. And David, he likewise had sinned greatly against God in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. And he was being chastised even at this time of his life, even for these sins. David then was lying upon his bed, drawing nigh unto the grave. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us, likewise as a congregation, how suddenly, likewise, our life could be cut off. Many, the womb is their grave. Many die while they're in the cradle. Many, they're just beginning to go to school. Some children, their lives are cut off. Some of us have experienced this in life amongst us. And when we are sometimes in the prime of our life, God takes such and such characters away. Graves are being opened every day, and people are being buried therein. There's a grave waiting for you and me. We know not how soon. This teaches us to listen to the voice of Solomon in the last book of Ecclesiastes, where he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the days come in the which thou wilt say, I have no desire thereto." These days were upon David. He was lying in his weakness and his frailty upon his bed. And they put clothes on him to try to get him warm. You know, when a person is cold inside, you cannot make him warm no matter how much clothes you put upon him. I've experienced this in life myself. If you lose a considerable amount of blood, then you're very cold. No matter how much clothes you put on you, you can't get warm. I couldn't get warm either. Neither could they make David warm. He was very cold. And now David, he, as king, had had many wives and had many concubines. But when he was younger, whenever he saw a beautiful woman, all he had to do was send for her and take her to be his wife. And now his servants, and probably the physicians that were attending him, they conferred with each other and said, "Let us seek for David a fair young virgin, and let her stand before him and cherish him and lay in his bosom, and maybe he might get heat." How foolish, foolish this counsel was. A man lying on his deathbed, and they counseling that he should get a wife, that he should marry again. Well, this is what the servants and the physician advised. And it seems that David, he didn't give any word against it, and he consented to it, it seems, for they sent out through all the coasts of Israel, and they sought a fair young virgin. They found one by the name of Abishag. she was a Shunammite. When they brought her in, she stood before the king, and she cherished him and nursed him, but the king, he knew her not. This likewise was a failure, in fact, in trying to make David warm. This, of course, was contrary even to the word of God. You know, when God created man, he brought unto him a woman by the name of Eve. And they were married together. God married them together. And God never instituted any other marriage. One man and one wife. And many of these kings, they had followed the principles of so many that had taken more than one wife. Lord Jesus Christ taught that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and those twain shall become one flesh. And what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Of this, what David had done, what Solomon did after him, and what so many of those saints did of old, they had the fruits of it in their life. There was no blessing upon it. So it was with David. He had no blessing upon all the wives that he had, and likewise the children that had come forth from these marriages. And now this son of David, Adonijah, he was a son of Haggith. He was the fourth son born unto David in Hebron. This young man, he exalted himself and said, I will be king. His mother was the fifth wife that David had. He then was in line to be king. Absalom being dead, Adonijah was the oldest son, and it was the custom of kingdoms to put the oldest son upon the throne. And he thought he had a birthright to this throne. But we read in 1 Chronicles 22, David speaking unto Solomon his son, about how that he had gathered so much wealth and so much riches and material together to build a house unto the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. And the Lord had said unto him, Thou shalt not build me a house. Thou hast been a man of many wars and hast shed much blood. Thou shalt not build me a house. But thou shalt have a son, and his name shall be called Solomon. And in his time he shall build me a house, and there will be peace and rest in Israel. And his throne shall be great, and I will be a father to him, and he will be my son. Now, this was before Solomon ever was born. God had made known this to David. We find in the further part of this chapter that he had sworn this even to Bathsheba, that he would place Solomon on his throne in his place. And it seems that it was known likewise unto Nathan the prophet. Now, this was the divine appointment of God before even Solomon was even born. And it seems that this man, Adonijah, he knew this. Oh, yes. But he went against this divine appointment. He stood up against God and against David, his own father. He exalted himself and said, I will be king. Now his father had never displeased him in anything and had never said unto him, Wherefore hast thou done so? For this was another bad feature of David. Although he was a man of God's own heart, he had his faults, as we find in the history that we are following. He never said to this son, Why hast thou done so? As this son, he was a fondling. He was a pet. He was a favorite of David. He was a jewel in David's eye. He was a good-looking young man, as the Bible says, something like Absalom. But his father had no authority over him. He dared not cross him or speak against him. He had never displeased his son in any way. Now, this was entirely wrong. He probably had displeased his father in many things, for no boy or girl is perfect. And maybe David, he noticed that this son, he couldn't take to be rebuked, he couldn't take to be crossed in his ways, and therefore he did not reprove him. Probably he went in secret to God in prayer concerning the faults of this son, but he let him go. And this is entirely wrong. But when parents do not keep authority over their children and keep them under, then the children rise up against the parents. And they have the authority, and the parents, well, they can't do anything with them. It's good to keep your children under. The Word of God teaches us this. And now this is not what David did with this particular son. And now if we honor our sons or our children more than we do God, then we will not have much honor of our children. David then, he let this young man have his way in every respect. And now he was going to find that this young man was going to be a thorn instead of a jewel. And this young man, he exalted himself. How foolish. Ridiculous. For any person to exalt himself. If God exalts us, then it is good. But it's best to be humble. It's best to be meek. It's best to be the least. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he was here upon earth. We all have a nature that wants to be something, that wants to exalt itself. We all have a certain amount of pride in us. And this, when it gets the upper hand, it leads many young people to ruin. So this is what happened to this young man, Adonijah. He exalted himself and said, I will be king, in the direct opposite against what God had said and what his father likewise had said. How foolish he was. And he treated his father like a fool because his father was lying on his deathbed. And he thought, no use consulting him. No use talking to him about this. And he didn't. He never said anything to his father, and he never went to God either to seek God's countenance and ask him if he was to be king. But he exalted himself. And he conferred with Joab and with Abiathar, the priest. Now, you know, Joab, he was a pretty old man already, too. He had been the general over David's army, and a wonderful general he had been. And he was very much attached to David. But that he went along with this young man, the commentary says that he didn't favor Solomon. He knew Solomon was to be king, but he didn't favor him. And he was afraid that probably Solomon would punish him for the murders that he had committed in his life. And now to continue to be general, he would go along with Adonijah. He would use him. He then, who was a wise man, who was the general of the army over David, and he conspired with this man to go along with him. And Abiathar, the priest, who was the high priest, and he likewise went with him, for fear likewise that if Solomon got on throne, then Solomon would follow the line of Eliezer, and he would put him out of the priesthood. And now Abiathar, by going along with this, he furthered it, for he was put out of the priesthood for this. Had he went along with David, these two men, they had been faithful to David in all the trials that David had went through, and everything that had come upon David in his life, these two men had been with him. And now they went along with Adonijah. And now we find that this took place without David knowing anything about it. And likewise, without Bathsheba knowing anything about it. It could be that Solomon knew about it, but Bathsheba knew nothing about this. She was retired and she lived in retirement. And now this man, Adonijah, he went and he got 50 men to run before him, and he got chariots and he got horsemen. And he went down to a place called Enrogel and took with him oxen and sheep and cattle, and he made a great feast there. He went down there with Abiathar, who was the high priest. He went down something like Absalom. Absalom, you know, he had said to David that he had made a vow unto the Lord, that if the Lord brought him back to Jerusalem, he would serve the Lord. And therefore, could he go down to Hebron to fulfill his vow, which was a lie? He just went down there to have himself proclaimed king. So this young man, he took with him Abiathar the priest. And he took oxen and he took sheep and fatlings to make a religious sacrifice. And of course, it was covered up with the high priest who was with him until they got to this place. This then was something being done under a guise of religion. Too bad it has to be that way. That evil things have to be covered with a religious tint. And this is what this was. And now when they were down there, then they made a great feast. And they invited, likewise, all the king's sons and the servants of the king, and they held this feast without inviting Nathan the prophet or Benaiah or even Solomon. But they didn't invite Zadok either to go down to this feast. All these mighty men that were with David that we read of, they weren't invited either, because they knew that they were too much attached to David and they would never get them to go along with this. Therefore, they didn't invite him. He didn't invite Solomon either, because he despised him, and probably he despaired even that he would come to such a feast. And Solomon, in all probabilities, knew what was going on, but he kept himself quiet. He didn't oppose this man, Adonijah, no. He let it in the hands of God to see that God would take care of it, because he must have known, too, likewise, that he was to be king. And now we find that Nathan the prophet, and he went down to Bathsheba, and he said unto her, "Knowest thou not that Adonijah reigneth, and that they have made him king, and that David likewise doth not know it?" She didn't know anything about it. And now this prophet, he done a very good thing when he did this. You know, it was customary, if this Adonijah succeeded, in all probabilities, he would have killed Bathsheba and Solomon. History proves this, that when a person is seeking an important post like a king, they'll do almost anything as far as sinning against God is concerned. So we have the history of Athaliah. When Ahaziah, her son, who was king, was slain, she went and she slew all the seed royal, and she herself began to reign. But we have likewise the history of a son of Gideon, Ahimelech. He went and he slew 70 of his brothers so that he could reign. And coming even to the New Testament, we had a sermon Sunday night about Herod, how that he likewise was afraid that Christ would become king in his place. And he had all the children slain, so that this child who he thought would become king would never be it. In this we find that the life of Bathsheba and Solomon were in danger. And when anybody's life is in danger, irrespective of who they may be, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, we are duty-bound to go to them and to warn them and speak unto them about it, irrespective of the risk of our own life. And this is what this Nathan did. He went to this woman and told her. And he says, "Dost thou not know this?" And she didn't know it. She didn't live in the world. She wasn't more or less communicative with anybody. And nobody told her what was going on until Nathan came. And he made known to her that the life of herself and of her son and of her son being king was in danger. And now he says, "Let me counsel you. Let me give you some good advice. You go in to King David and say unto him, is this from thee, O king, that thou hast placed Adonijah as king in thy stead? Hast thou not sworn unto thine handmaid that thou would place Solomon, my son, upon the throne? And when you're in there speaking to him, I'll come in after you, and I'll confer and approve the words that you have spoken to him, so that it will be a sure thing for him that he won't have to doubt your word, because I will come in and testify that it also is true." So she went into the king, and the king was very old, it says, and Abishag, she ministered unto him. And when he seen Bathsheba come in, she did obeisance to the king. She kneeled down with her face to the ground, and he said unto her, "What wouldst thou?" And she began to speak to him and tell him how that Adonijah had exalted himself and made himself king. Was this then of him? Had he not sworn unto his handmaid that he would assuredly put Solomon upon the throne, and that Solomon would reign in his stead? And now the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, for they are waiting for thee to find out who is to be king in thy room and in thy stead. And this thing should be settled in thy life, because of the life of my son and myself are in danger if thou should pass away. As she then speaks to him concerning what was taking place and how that it took place, and likewise how that Israel was waiting for word from David who should reign in his place. But these people, the Israelites, they were not at this time like they were with Absalom. When Absalom arose to be king, he had all the people on his side and they followed him. But not now. Now the people didn't go along with Adonijah. They were waiting in suspense word from the king. And when she spake this way to the king, that likewise he had sworn by the Lord that Solomon would be king, and she knew him to be her husband. She knew that he was a man of God. She knew that he had a conscience, and that if he was reminded of what he had spoken and sworn, that he would be faithful to it. And as she spake this way to him, why, we find that Nathan came in. And Nathan He was told to come in, and it appears that she was told to leave. And when he came in, he likewise spake more plainly unto the king concerning whether he had ordered that Adonijah should be king in his room and in his stead. Was it of him? Had he not made it known unto his prophet, unto Nathan, his servant? Was he not faithful to the word that God had given unto him, and not faithful to his own word? Had he gone back on it? Had he placed this man on the throne? This man, Nathan, was very plain in dealing with David, for he said, even now, he says, if they are saying, God save King Adonijah. This is what they were already proclaiming. And if this was not of him, then it was high time that he decided who should be king and that he should speak up. For all Israel were waiting for this. And when he heard this out of Nathan's mouth, and he had heard it out of Bathsheba's mouth, then he was assured that it was so. And he called and ordered that they should bring in Zadok, they should bring in Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and likewise Nathan the prophet. These three were all called into the king. This Benaiah, he was the captain of the guard. He had charge of the Cherethites and the Pilethites, and he was a hero. He was a brave man. He was placed over the whole army after a while by David, and likewise in Solomon's time, he was the general. And now David requested that these three men be brought before him, and when he spake unto them that he would place his son Solomon upon the throne, as surely says, as the Lord who hath redeemed my soul from all distress liveth, I will this day place Solomon upon the throne. For I have chosen him to be king over Israel. This then brought Bathsheba down before the king. Oh, how comforting this was to her, for this was the issue of whether he, her son, should be king or Adonijah. And David then, he spake unto them that as sure as the Lord who liveth and redeemeth my soul from all distress, just as sure as he liveth, so sure will I place Solomon upon the throne, and he shall reign in my stead. David here is speaking about something that God had done for him. A wonderful blessing David had received. As sure as the God that liveth, that redeemeth my soul out of all distress. David remembered this God while he was on his deathbed. He spake about this wonderful blessing that God had given unto him in his lifetime. This God had redeemed his soul out of all distress. Oh, David, he couldn't do anything else but exalt this God. And this God had come to him and told him who should be king. And just as sure now as this God liveth and liveth forever, so sure would he do as God had promised and he was commanded to do. David, he remembered then how the Lord had saved him, how that he had pardoned his sins. David had been in that place where we read of in Psalm 116, the pains of hell, he says, got hold of me. And in his distress, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord was gracious and merciful unto him. I was brought low, he says, and he helped me. Or he was delivered from all his transgressions. He was given to know this God as his God, as his Savior. And this Lord he loved, he feared. He remembered then while he was on his deathbed. One of the gracious acts that God had done to him. And many times David had been in distress and had been delivered by God. It's a mercy, my hearers, if we can turn back our minds to some time in our life when we were in distress and the Lord delivered us. Have any of you been in distress? Have you ever been brought to that place where you needed God to help you, to deliver you? And has he heard you? Has he delivered you? Call to remembrance your song in the night. Oh, how good it was at that time for your immortal soul. And I believe David was in a good frame of soul when he says this. As sure as the Lord liveth, that delivered my soul out of all distress. Oh, to have this in this life means so much, my hearers. David had this while he was speaking here unto these three men. And he assured them that Solomon was to become king. He commanded them that they should take his own mule and take him down to Gihon. And there they were to anoint him to be king. And they were to bring him up again and proclaim, God save King Solomon. And they were to bring him back and place him upon the throne. Because David, he had said that he should be king in his room and in his stead. So they took this man, Solomon, and they placed him on David's mule. And they proclaimed who he was. And this place where they took him, Gihon, was a fountain of water. Why that they chose this place, and there was no special reason. It was a place of concourse where a lot of people assembled. And when they brought him down to this place, why, then everybody could see who he was. And they likewise proclaimed who he was and what they were going to do to him. And we find that Zadok and likewise Nathan the prophet, they took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and they anointed him to be king over Israel. Now this anointing was a type of the wonderful anointing of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This anointing meant that he would be qualified and appointed by God and be given those virtues that was necessary to rule and to govern the kingdom. In eternity, God did anoint his dear son with that heavenly oil and appointed him to be king over his church and qualified him in that time already so that when he did come forth into this world, he likewise was given